The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
Sports Talk 1240 is brought to you by DraftPot.com. DraftPot is changing fantasy sports. Sign up today at DraftPot.com with promo code SportsTalk1240 and receive a 100% deposit bonus. And now, Sports Talk 1240.
Happy New Year to all you Sports Talk 1240 fans out there. And I wish I had better news for you this evening, January 3rd, 2016. You're with Derek Wasiak, John Sweeney, special guest WGBB host John Panarese, a trio on this evening.
It's like a funeral today.
If you can't figure out the song, the focus is going to be on football. More exclusively, New York Jets football. And folks, I wish I had better news for you. I really do. And if the Jets would have continued playing the way they were when they dropped 4 out of 5 games in the middle of the season after they lost that game to Houston 24-17, if they would have continued like that and finished up another subpar season, I probably wouldn't even care right now. I really wouldn't. But with all that the Jets accomplished in the last 5 weeks leading up to today, you know, beating the Giants in overtime. They hadn't beaten the Giants since 1993.
Really? Was that long?
And then beating the Pats last week in overtime.
Big win.
Would have been one of the biggest December wins in team history.
Undefeated in December, too.
Unfortunately, I can't classify it as the biggest December win for the Jets because, as will be the theme for me, at least, this entire show, the Jets, plain and simple, failed to validate what they accomplished the last 5 weeks with what they did today in Buffalo. And I'm not saying that Buffalo is not an NFL caliber team, and I'm not saying that they weren't capable of beating the Jets, but the way the Jets had played this season, especially the last month plus, there was no reason. Through preparation and the work that was put in, there was no reason for them to go to Buffalo and lose to a team that had lost so many games recently and hadn't given up less than 20 points to anybody in the last month plus outside of Dallas last week, who I don't even know what quarterback they were using. And I don't mean to cut you off, Sweeney.
Okay.
You know, you with Sweeney in the wise, but right now I'm going to give Johnny Boy the mic for himself. But I'm just disgusted with this defense. I'm putting this loss today, first and foremost, on the defense. And if you need to know why, and I'll get into it talking with my partner and John Panarese, I'll tell you why. Because the Buffalo Bills possessed the ball for 40 minutes. And you can turn that music up now. 40 minutes of ball control for the Buffalo Bills without their number one running back. I don't even know who they had running the ball eventually during that game.
Gillisley.
And the Jets defense let them convert third downs, fourth downs, missed tackles, and no pressure on the quarterback when he threw. None. I don't call coverage sacks by David Harris pressure on the quarterback. So the defensive line, first offender, the defense in general, second offender, and Darrell Revis, number three, because he's the highest paid player on the team, and that guy couldn't cover their number one receiver to save his life today. And on top of that, for everybody that loves cover corners, he couldn't make a big play and take it back to the house, which is what the Jets needed. End of story. And thus concludes the musical portion
of our show.
For now.
Of the funeral. The wake.
John, the floor is yours. But I'm telling you right now,
In the
end, I'm disgusted with the defense because the way they started and finished the game.
I'm disgusted with the defense. I'm disgusted with the coaching. I'm disgusted with Fitzpatrick's fourth quarter play. Okay? You don't let Sammy Watkins. First of all, McCoy's not playing today. Okay? So you're down your star running back.
Right.
Williams gets hurt. The rookie comes out. Then they have this other kid, Gillisley. He was on the practice squad for the Dolphins.
Right.
This and that, he's bouncing around. I mean, he's had some long touchdowns the last couple weeks.
Yep.
That's it. You got to stop them. The quarterback's running the pocket. And Sammy Watkins, 11 for 139. How do you let that happen? Revis, how do you guys let that happen? He was out there running routes and he was getting these catches. He was just going in, coming in, doing these catches.
Mr.
It was crazy.
Mr. Hall of Famer.
Not the whole secondary. And like you said, there was no pressure on the quarterback today.
There wasn't, man.
Nothing.
Where was
there?
That?
Was no pressure
where
on the quarterback
the
at all
I saw
today.
One nice rush, you know, where he hurried and forced Taylor to get rid of the ball, and I saw Wilkerson early in the game get a good hit on him. But outside of that one time, there was nothing.
But you know,
in terms of a pass rush,
this is why you lost the game. You had 39 minutes and 13 seconds of time of possession. The Jets had 20. The double. And what were they, nine for 20 on third down and 2 for 2 on fourth down?
You know, cause
are you kidding me?
You brought up that running back, Mike Gillisley. Is that how you say his name?
Off the practice
Now,
squad.
I'm not saying he had a great game. I mean, he ran the ball 24 times for 28 yards.
Yeah.
However,
Holy crap.
The Jets call a timeout and the Bills are still going for it on fourth down, you got to stop him.
Yeah.
And he scores a touchdown.
Not only that.
He scores a touchdown there.
I want to tell you this, though. Let's touch on this, though, real quick, okay? Goes on for Todd. And I like Todd Bowles when he came here. And I said that was he's a good defensive coordinator for Arizona. I'm happy. I was happy to have him. But Rex Ryan jammed that right down his throat and out-coached him. How do you have, in the first quarter, 12 men on the field penalty? How do you then all of a sudden call a timeout because you only have 10 men on your squad and waste a timeout on that one? Plus, they were 3 for 11 on third down, the Jets. Come on.
They had no.
You
got to
do better than that.
They had no third down conversions in the first.
You
got to
do better than that.
And if I was Panarese, I'd be laughing at some of the things we say.
Plus,
because you're not as emotionally attached as we are. But let me just say this, on top of what John's saying about the early penalties, the Buffalo Bills, the most penalized team in the league.
In the league.
Coming into the final game of the season, and what did the Jets take? The first 4 or 5 penalties in this game?
Right off the bat. They had more penalties than they had yardage in the first half.
Oh, Jesus.
And the Jets are one of the top least penalized teams. They're like top 5 in the league in terms of discipline.
You want to talk about a team that collapsed? They self-destructed in all aspects of that game. Todd Bowles, I was out-coached by Rex Ryan up in Buffalo. This is a game you have to win. This team is struggling. There's chatter in the locker room about guys don't want to play anymore.
Who's this? What are we talking about now?
Well, Williams didn't want to play. You know, Williams, he wants to leave Buffalo.
Right.
There's some things going on up in Buffalo with some of the players didn't want to play.
I remember Mario Williams saying something about the defense not fitting the players or whatever.
Right. So they're self-destructing. But what they do, they got up for this one game. Bowles should have went up there like they did with New England and how they beat New England and how they won in December.
That's what gets to me is they should have – I mean, you would have thought they would have been fired up to win that final game and make the playoffs after a big emotional victory over New England.
Plus, Fitzpatrick and Brandon Marshall have never been to the playoffs in their career.
And this he's up there, right? Most starts without being in the playoffs.
Both of those guys – have extra motivation to get into the playoffs now. And you're so close, you could taste it. And you drop the ball. Marshall did. You know, Fitzpatrick didn't play bad.
They all had their drops.
Yeah. Everybody, it's a whole
listen, Marshall had a drop. I believe Decker had a drop where he shouldn't have had one. And you know, outside of Decker and Marshall, and this is the theme the whole season for the Jets, but outside of those two wide receivers, they really didn't get much from any other wide receivers the entire year, and especially today. And you are... And even the guy Tompkins, at the end of the game when Buffalo tried to give him a big play on that air ball down the sideline.
He was gone.
He would have been gone if he held that ball.
Yeah, and we would have won this
game. That would have been the biggest gift you ever saw.
We would have a different show right now. We would have horns and like it's a new year.
Yeah.
Happy New Year.
You know, it sounds funny, but I had such a great show mapped out with music. I didn't want to play Joan Jett, I Hate Myself for Loving You. I didn't think that was even going to remotely be the case. I was going to play the Paul McCartney Jet song. I was going to play my typical Ranger playoff song with KC and the Sunshine Band, maybe break out another new song, you know, to celebrate a big win. and talk about all the positive, all the individual records that they set, whether it was Fitzpatrick with the touchdown passes, you know, and the big season passing overall, or Marshall breaking Don Mater's yardage record and tying his touchdown record, okay, and breaking, you know, Toon's record for receptions in a year. I planned on just celebrating all the individual records that added up to team success.
Well, it means nothing to me.
And
now,
they
right now
failed to validate what they were doing. They came out in this game. John, when you really look at this game, it really boils down to how they started and how they finished the game. When they started this game, the defense forced Buffalo three and out early on.
Yes.
The first two drives. And they did the same thing to the Jets. Might have picked up, you know, a first down or so. But the one thing I noticed early on was they weren't running Chris Ivory. Like, are you kidding me?
Where was
Chris Ivory? Like, if he's hurt, tell me he's hurt and don't play him. So at first, I see Ridley in there the first couple of drives. And maybe Ivory was in there for a third down.
He was.
And I'm like, okay, if he's hurt and he's a decoy, fine. So they got Ridley in. They don't go anywhere the first two drives. And then what happens to turn the tide a little bit is they had that horrible punt by Quigley that went out of bounds. Yeah, you know, they want to get the ball at the 25-yard line of the Jets.
He should be cut right now. As they're going back to New York, he should be off that team for next year.
But even so,
for that, that's a touchdown right there. He gave him those points right there.
Right, but even so, after that, Buffalo takes a timeout before a third down play. This is a story all day with the Jets.
Yeah, all day.
Third down play, and it was third and long. It wasn't third and short. And Taylor has to scramble. Now, the pass rush is coming, and I'm going to give you the two culprits on this first touchdown run by Tyrod Taylor. The first culprit on the pass rush was Sheldon Richardson. He didn't man his gap. He was responsible for outside contain, and he made a move to the inside when he shouldn't have done it. And Tyrod Taylor went outside.
Brian.
So there he's gone. He's past the first level. Right. And then one of your biggest culprits overall in the game, Calvin Pryor, instead of flying up and making the tackle or forcing him to make a move back inside right away, he allows himself to get, now he may have been held, but he allows himself to get blocked by a wide receiver, and Taylor gets himself out on the edge and to the pylon. And not only did the Jets waste the timeout, they give up a touchdown on that exact play right after it.
Horrible play.
And they did the same thing on the other. The other timeout was the fourth down run by Gillisley, whatever his name is.
He went up to, to me, it seemed like they were afraid to tackle in the first half.
Afraid to tackle? No, they just weren't finishing their tackles. Buffalo is a football team. These guys are going to compete. They're professional athletes.
And
I believe that they were wound up and they were ready emotionally. But you still got to come out and match that emotion with execution. And when you're taking penalties in spots where you don't normally do it, and when you're not blocking and controlling the movement at the line of scrimmage, what do you want me to tell you? And then you're not finishing tackles on top of that? You're asking for trouble, which is what they got themselves into, down 13-0 early. I mean, what am I supposed to think as a fan? You know, an average fan, and John, like, you know, you had stuff going on, so maybe you didn't see a lot of the game, but, you know, so like, oh, you got to be pumped up. I believe they were pumped up, but they didn't match that pumpness with execution and focus. Focus is so important.
Especially when it's such an important game. It's a playoff game.
Now,
last week's a playoff game.
Who do you blame for that? Is that coaching or is that just a team mindset failure?
I blame the coaches for not refocusing them and maybe making some big-time adjustments on defense. Because it didn't matter what went on. They constantly had the ball. They constantly converted on third downs at the wrong time for the Jets. And Buffalo just kept moving the ball. I mean, even after the Jets scored, right?
Well, what,
and they cut this game to 19-17.
Yeah.
And then he threw an interception. I'm getting ahead of myself by going to the fourth quarter. But just as an example, Buffalo had the ball. They probably chewed up 5-6 minutes. They had a long drive right before halftime.
Bill, why didn't they run the ball when they were at the 20-yard line?
Which time?
When they threw the pick in the fourth.
I don't know.
But here's the question. Maybe
that's where I blame coaching.
Yeah.
In the mixing up in certain spots.
They had a field goal to take the lead by 1 point.
Pass.
Right? They were down 17.
But ultimately, it falls on the players.
Yeah.
It really does.
I mean, why don't you run the ball with Ivory? Ivory looked healthy.
Why did he only have 6 carries, though? That's
6 carries.
That is something that somebody.
Ivory said he couldn't
watch the postgame show. You know why I couldn't watch the postgame show? Because as soon as I turned it on, Ray Lucas is sitting there on his chair, you know, in the bottom, you know, they got the information at the bottom of the screen that says Muhammad Wilkerson broke his leg. I feel bad for the guy. He got hurt, broke his leg. And he's sitting there explaining to me, the fan, how the Jets should just pay Wilkerson And I don't want to hear about contracts 10 minutes after the Jets lose a big game.
Right.
You know, I've been here 40 years as a fan. I don't care about anybody's contract or anything that's going on with that nonsense. So I didn't get into sticking around to wait and see if somebody asked the coach about that to answer your question. So I don't know why he only ran the ball 6 times. What I do know is the first time he carried the ball, John, he ran 58 yards. And that's where I had a problem with the Jets, because he ran 58 yards and then they threw 3 times incomplete, right, and settled for a field goal. That makes no sense to me. Why wouldn't you run till they stop you in that spot? Even if you take them out and put Ridley in at that point. Why not?
Ridley starts.
Do it till they stop you.
Do it till they stop you. Keep running on it. Keep running on you.
Right. If it's working, it's working.
Well, your running backs only had 15 carries the whole game.
Ridley had nine,
Ivory had six. How do you go away from that and go to the pass? That's why it comes back to coaching.
That's what the essence of my question was.
That part I put on coaching.
I don't think Todd Bowles
had the distribution of pass and run, you know, on a windy day and a cold windy day. I'll put that on coaching. But in terms of, you know, some of the penalties, like Leonard Williams, you know, everybody's pushing and shoving, and you choose to hit the guy, punch him in the head with your fist or your palm. What do you see? He asked for a personal foul, and he got one. It didn't help the Jets. And the Jets usually don't do that.
No.
That's usually what the Bills do all game long.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the Bills didn't take a penalty until, like, the end of the second quarter?
Right. Rex Ryan, they got them out of their zone, out of their game. Took the Jets right out of their game. Because that's exactly what happened. It was a horrible penalty.
I feel the Jets took themselves out of
the game. Deca going out of bounds. They're coming back in. Catching the ball was another one.
He's got to know.
Yeah, that's another
one. That was early on, I know.
But he's a professional receiver. He knows better. But, you know, 12 men in the huddle. Come on.
Yeah.
That's... I mean, you know, this is stuff that's like, you know, you're not the, you know, Tennessee Titans or something like that. You're the New York Jets. You're going into the playoffs.
Right.
You just swept out December. You're on a roll. You got 2,000-yard receivers. Fitzpatrick's got 30 touchdowns. Ivy's got 1,000 yards rushing. Why aren't you running the ball? You miss Powell that much? Where was he? He wasn't there in the beginning of the year. I don't know.
People might not think about it, but I mean, and I'm not saying they got to Fitzpatrick.
And the offensive line wasn't.
But they got better pressure on Fitzpatrick. Fitzpatrick had to hurry a lot of throws.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not taking anything away from Tyrod Taylor, but one of the reasons why his completion percentage was 65% and Fitzpatrick's was like 43% was that he had more time to stand back there and throw, because there were so many pass plays for Buffalo where it looked like the Jets defensive line and anybody blitzing were just running into a wall. It was like watching a 3-year-old run into a fence trying to climb it. It
didn't seem like they had any.
But trying to climb out of a crib.
Right.
You know, like, are you kidding me?
They
didn't
have the extra step.
You're telling me that. I almost thought, I'm like, is this the Buffalo Bills offensive line that blocked for O.J. Simpson in the early 70s? The electric company, whatever they called it? Is that what that is?
And you know,
because I don't get that at all. That defensive line, with all those first-round picks that reside on that line, you're telling me that they couldn't generate enough pressure to make Taylor get rid of the ball quicker? I got news for you. They didn't. And that's why his completion was high, especially on a windy day. And he didn't throw any touchdown passes, but he was highly more efficient when he did throw the ball.
They had a better game plan. And you had to know that Rex Ryan was up there doing this, but you got to go up there and you got to say all out. This game is all or nothing for this game. You have to expect that. Bowles, I think they were maybe looking ahead. They were saying they were going to run over. This is how I don't think
they're looking ahead. Come on.
I think they failed, but I don't think they were looking ahead. They failed terribly.
They did fail miserably.
Yeah.
You know, offensively, everybody took their turn. Whether it was a receiver dropping a pass. Whether it was the offensive line not getting good blocks in the run game, or whether it was, I hate picking on the guy because I didn't think much of him when they acquired him, but I can appreciate and I can put a value on the chemistry between Fitz and the coordinator Chan Gailey, but Fitzpatrick in the fourth quarter, you know, I think he failed terribly. I think he threw one pick in the last 5 games, and he threw 3 in the fourth quarter. Right. And they weren't all these four. Listen, the last one meant nothing because they had no timeouts left. He had to throw the ball.
He was going to Marshall.
But the first one, he threw first and 10 at the 20-yard line. You're in the red zone.
He should have been running the ball.
That is a good example of why I appreciated Chad Pennington when he was with the Jets. Weak arm and all, he never threw interceptions into the end zone.
And that was a good pick.
And you went to Harvard. Listen, you know what? There may have been a problem there.
But they should have been running the ball.
With the receivers running their routes because – Decker wound up being in the same area as another receiver.
Well, guess what?
But you got to be smart enough as a quarterback to recognize blue and not as much green in the area and throw the ball away.
Right, You don't need to be throwing a 20-yard pass when you could be running a ball with Ivory.
He had no chance to complete that pass is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So that's where he was trying to make something out of nothing. He makes his most egregious mistake. You know, the Jets were within a couple of points. It's 19
field goal that took the lead.
Isn't it?
Right.
It's 19-17.
The field goal right there, you take the lead.
In the third quarter, 19-17, the Jets have all the momentum on their side on that drive, early fourth quarter, first and 10, inside the red zone. They have the momentum. That mistake by Fitzpatrick, what happens is it swings the momentum.
It changes, it
sucks the life out of you had everything going your way and piling up like a snowball coming downhill. Against the Bills, okay? And that interception into the end zone is like somebody blew up that big snowball before it got
there. The Jets score right there.
Just killed everything right there.
The Jets score a touchdown right there running, or they kick a field goal, take the lead right there. That takes the little air out of their sail.
It definitely changes the complexion of the game.
Not only what they did is they pumped up the crowd. They pumped up the defense, pumped it up with that pick.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden now the momentum's going back to – Buffalo.
Now they're back to thinking, who upset special? We can pull this off. We can get these guys. And the Jets had the second half up until that interception. And then what did Buffalo do offensively after that? Do you know?
They came down.
They just drove the ball.
That's where the defense caused
themselves again. They've given you new life, your offense. You're back in the game. It's 19-17. Okay, your quarterback just threw a debilitating interception. But now, as a defense, with the Bills taking over at their own 20, I mean, listen, if you're a top five defense in the league, you just got to get a stop and get the ball back. There's 10-plus minutes left in the fourth quarter. How do you let the team chew up 5, 6, 7 minutes moving the ball down the field? When they take their field goal, there's 4 minutes to go. I mean, it's chewed up so much time.
That's exactly what he did.
Then the Jets get the ball back, and you're like, okay, guess what? 4 minutes to go.
Right.
And we need a touchdown to win the game.
And
they start driving. Right. And now your most egregious guy, if you want to isolate on crunch time, which is the end of the game, and your most meaningful possession, obviously it's the end of the game. You're down by 5. You need a touchdown. They're moving the ball. And Fitzpatrick drops back. And he sees Marshall going down the sideline. And just as he goes to throw, he gets hit. And the ball pops up in the air. And then I'm looking at another $6 million man, just like I looked at Revis not cover Watkins all day. I'm looking at the Brickishaw Ferguson, Long Island boy and all. I like you, but not today, not with 4 minutes to go. Not missing that block.
He's got to do a better job.
He misses the block. The guy's inside. He gets a hit on the quarterback as he releases and creates an interception. And that's Ferguson not protecting his backside. Guess what?
Bottom line.
Now you just cost your team right there. By the time you get the ball back, because you don't have 3 timeouts, because you had to waste the timeout, because you didn't have the right personnel on the field early in the second half, now you get the ball back, you know, with 55 seconds instead of a minute 35 or a minute 40, right? So they had no time. So the last interception meant nothing, you know. And even at that, like we mentioned 5 minutes ago, that kid Tompkins down the sideline, I don't know what that Bills D-back was thinking. Because he was the last guy back.
Yeah.
And he came up to hit Tompkins.
Lucky hit.
Tompkins held that catch, he was gone.
He was gone.
But that's just the way it is.
It was 10:43 left when Fitzpatrick threw his first pick.
Yeah.
And that in the fourth quarter. And that's what it was. So 10:43, we were doomed.
It was a momentum shifter.
Yeah. You score right there, takes the air out of the sails of Buffalo.
Right. It just changed. Like I
and
said,
then
they
shoot up the clock.
But you know what, though? Yeah, it was like 2 minutes and like 15 or something seconds left. And they didn't elect to call a timeout. They had the ball. They let the clock run out. It was third down and long, and they let the clock run down to nothing, to the 2-minute warning.
Oh, when they had the ball.
Yeah. It was like 2:14 left.
I did notice that to myself. I was saying, you
I was
know.
Like, why wouldn't they call a timeout here? And then,
you know,
then
two go, change here.
Or just run a play before you go, and they let it run.
Because I'm like, you
just wasted 15 seconds.
You're not even running a
two-minute offense. That's
Todd Bowles again. Why aren't we going no huddle here? I said that to myself.
I was like, what's you know, you're out coach. He kind of like crumbled. Everyone got like a little, it was like a deer in the headlights syndrome over there. I'm sick over it. I can't explain what happened. I mean, I was watching this game, and I said, is this the same team I was watching for the whole month of December? It doesn't look like it. But Buffalo, is that good? Is Buffalo that good?
Well, they were talking about this.
The Jets cost themselves in this game.
You know, the three of us could say, hey, you know what? You're down to your practice squad running back. Who did have some – he had a 50-yard run last week, but whatever. And who is the main guy on that team? Sammy Watkins. You got to stop that guy. You don't let him get 11 catches for 130-something.
I mean, that's where
yards.
I get on coaching.
How do you
bit.
Not cover, double cover that guy? You have nobody else to throw the ball to. But
I just don't know why you wouldn't line somebody up like spy, an extra safety, a free safety.
Of course.
Try to jump his route, you know? Make it look like Revis can't cover him, which he didn't cover him. Not when he was on him. And then let somebody, you know, like Williams or somebody, just jump a route and create a big, you know, turnover, maybe for a pick six. I mean, Jets didn't have a defensive touchdown all season. This was the day when they probably needed one. You know, so, I mean, defensively, I got to be honest with you, just because of the way the season went, I was very disappointed in Calvin Pryor. Calvin Pryor had one tackle today. A strong safety cannot go through
when he first came up with one tackle. When he first came up, me and you both... Gave him his nickname as the Hawk.
I saw a lot of good things this year.
Because they had him, what was he, the Louisville Slugger? We granted him the Hawk because he was going to be knocking people out.
But he did a lot of that this year, but it wasn't enough for this game. He did none of that today. Do you remember?
Nothing.
Do you recall in your brain prior making a big hit?
Nothing.
No, of course not. He only had one tackle.
Nothing.
You can't play strong safety and have one tackle. You can play cornerback and have one tackle.
But you cannot
play strong safety and have one tackle. You're an embarrassment to guys like Ronnie Lott when you do that.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
And you know something else? You know, you got Curley back there. Curley hasn't done anything all year. He's another one.
I'm glad you brought him up because he wasn't even in to play offense. So you think you'd get something out of him on a punt return.
He was doing nothing. It was horrible what he did. If he's not doing the job, bring somebody else in there that can do the job.
Special teams was a complete
disaster.
They created nothing.
I would start from scratch with that whole thing next year. You know what's horrible about this whole thing? We were so close right here, right? And it's so difficult because you only get six teams, right? What, six make it in the AFC?
Six and six.
You can't afford an injury could happen next year.
You never know what's going to happen next year.
And you're so close. You could taste this victory.
Now, I was right there.
Going to the playoffs.
There was nothing that said that they shouldn't have finished this mission, made it six in a row, and rolled right into the playoffs. Granted, they would have been playing New England. So be it. But you know what? There was no reason to lose this game. Not the worst loss I've encountered as a Jet fan. I'm not trying to make any.
To me, it was one of the worst.
I'm not trying to make any more of it than
it
is. I'm not saying. Listen,
because you're tasting.
I can rank them during a break. That's fine. I'm just saying it's not the most devastating loss I've encountered in the regular season as a Jet
bad.
Fan.
This is pretty bad. This is a pretty bad one.
Yeah, well definitely disappointing. Is. I mean, it's
in the top.
You know, especially considering that they were 10-5 coming in. And
because
I thought 97 was worse when they went to Detroit and lost.
Well, I'll tell you what. You know what made this loss even worse for me?
What?
Rex Ryan.
Now, you know, I can ignore that.
For me.
Why, you're a Jet fan like me.
Yeah, you go into Buffalo. You just had four wins last year.
Right.
You got 10 now. And you're tasting the playoffs, okay? Possibly the fifth seed, sixth seed, wherever you're going to be, wherever you finish, right? You got to go play your old coach up in Buffalo. And he jams it down your throat again.
Yeah.
He did it once in your home. Now he's doing it up there.
No, they were calling
that
the
was a
Super Bowl.
Lane.
They were calling the Super Bowl too in Buffalo. This was the whole
devastating
8-8. They wanted to be 8-8. That was the whole thing. There was the mission to be an 8-8. You know, finish at 500 and you know, kind of recover it. Because I got to see the Buffalo perspective all week.
You know what, Panarese? Let's hold that. We'll take a break now. When we come back, we'll talk more Rex and we'll talk the Buffalo perspective that Johnny Panarese had while up in Buffalo for the New Year's Eve game with the Islanders and the Sabres. And we'll get his, take on Buffalo fans and how they viewed this entire week leading up to the game. And we'll talk more agony. You're with two genaholics here and one guy trying to comfort us. It's Sports Talk 1240, 631-888-8811. After the break, Buffalo discussion, that perspective, phone calls. Anybody agonizing out there? Any other fellow genaholics? And more Sports Talk after this message.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240, right here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB. Be sure and visit us online at sportstalk1240.com.
Hey, fantasy sports fans. DraftPot has an exclusive offer for Sports Talk 1240 listeners. Sign up today at DraftPot.com with the promo code SportsTalk1240, and DraftPot will match 100% of your first deposit. That's right. Sign up today at DraftPot.com with the promo code SportsTalk1240, and DraftPot will match 100% of your first deposit. What are you waiting for? Do it now.
Country Foot Care, official podiatrists of the New York Lizards, have been delivering state-of-the-art foot care with good old-fashioned caring to Long Island residents for over 30 years. Specialists in sports medicine and foot injuries, Country Foot Care can be reached at 516-741-FEET or online at countryfootcare.com.
Unflippable, unflappable, unleakable. The Gustbuster is the only umbrella that won't flip inside out, rip, tear, or leak. Capable of withstanding winds over 55 miles per hour. All of our umbrellas are constructed of the finest quality materials and backed by a limited lifetime guarantee. What are you waiting for? Visit GustBuster.com and get your GustBuster today.
Whether you're a couple enjoying a romantic meal for two, a family wanting to dine in a relaxed and friendly setting, or a larger party wanting to celebrate a special occasion, Miller Place Pasteria always combines a warm welcome with the finest contemporary Italian cuisine and wines. Also serving up Long Island's favorite pizza. We're located right on Route 25A in Miller Place. Come visit us today and check us out online at mppasteria.com.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240, broadcasting every Sunday night beginning at 8 p.m. right here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB, the station that serves your community. And now, back to the show.
All right, folks, we are back. We are back, and it is a just a jet therapy session, Johnny.
It's going to boil down to.
So let's now. Maybe I have a different take. I understand. You know, my mom was complaining about Rex Ryan that she didn't want to lose to him. I understand how you feel. I guess me personally, I just ignored the whole thing with Rex because I really don't have any animosity towards him other than the fact
that he jammed it down our throat.
No, that he just failed to evolve.
Right in the mouth.
He failed to evolve as a coach with the Jets, and more importantly, he failed to develop the good core young guys that we had that had been to those two title games, been through those two playoff runs in 2009, 2010. But I mean, the guy provided me with four of the 10 playoff wins I've seen. I mean, I really don't have anything bad to say about him. I know he's a buffoon, and he draws a lot of attention to himself with dumb things he says and the whole Belichick and kissing rings, but he had a great start as a Jet coach for me, some big-time playoff wins with a good core of young guys, and he just failed to evolve and failed to develop them. I don't think the loss bothers me more because he was the coach of the other team. It doesn't. For me.
It
was bothering my mom, maybe
it
my dad,
me
maybe
a lot.
You. I'm probably in the minority on that, but I just don't care. Well, that he was coaching the Bills.
Okay. I do.
All right, you can respond to
it. It bothers me a lot that he was there, that we lost to him. Plus he had a better game plan.
Right.
Well, yeah.
They're doing trick plays. He failed with it, though. But basically, he had the quarterback going in the pocket, bouncing around from whatever. He could run whatever he did. And it was Sammy Watkins. It's one guy. You can't stop. You got a running back from the practice squad out there. And you got Watkins. And the guy has 11 catches for 139. So I keep.
You know, he tried to help the Jets, though.
Yeah,
you're going to say he outcoached the Bulls, fine. But he tried to help.
He
was going to go for it on fourth downs where he really shouldn't.
He did it twice.
I took offense to that in terms of the Jets.
That's why.
Because that was just telling the Jets defense, you ain't doing your job.
Well,
and the one time they forced the penalty.
That's why I'm saying that. It was like throwing mud in your face. Okay, because he went for it on fourth down twice and completed both.
He was going to go for it another time.
I know, but they,
and the Jet guy jumped.
Yeah, thank you.
I didn't agree with how the refs handled that, because you know if you move, I mean, I don't think he really induced them to move. I think that was one of those ones where he jumped and he could have got back.
Eric.
He was way on the outside. It wasn't like he was lined up with the center or the guard.
That could always go either way. He brought in the backup quarterback.
Yeah, I know.
And they jumped.
I remember.
And that's another blunder.
Yeah.
On our sake, besides the 12-man in the huddle.
Right.
Okay? You could go down a line of the penalties.
I got you.
But you lost to Rex Ryan in Buffalo, your old coach.
Right.
Okay? Like you say, he had all those accolades when he was with us. You got to go up there and win that game. Win that game big time.
All right, so Johnny Panarese was up there.
Yeah.
So he was around Buffalo Bill fans all week long. So, John, tell us what you went through and what you experienced.
Well, I was up there from Sunday, the last Sunday when they won. And this became a big deal to Buffalo fans. First of all, you know, they are very passionate football fans. A lot of really great people I got to meet this week. But they took this game as a surprise, I guess, to some Jet fans because they're not going to make the playoffs, blah, blah, blah. But it was still a big deal to them because they were looking at 8-8, and they were looking at stopping the Jets from making the playoffs. And that's all they talked about on radio and all the sports shows this week, was how they were going to shock the Jets. The Jets were going to take the Bills for granted. Jets were coming in thinking they were going to roll over the Bills after the Jets had beaten, you know, New England, big victory. And this was like Super Bowl II to them, you know. And it was just kind of weird that's all you heard about. And how Rex Ryan was going to get—he was going to stick it to the Jets. He was going
to
win. You know,
he
was going to sweep the Jets. He was going to—you know. So it was kind of interesting, being sort of like, you know, being in enemy country, I think you guys are going to end up losing this game, which unfortunately it wasn't the case. But so I kind of—I'm glad I'm not there now because I spoke up so much.
Right.
But, you know, it was just the value, the passion that these fans put in. I mean, you would have thought that the Bills were the team that were going to go to the playoffs with this win, by the way that they were talking it up. And, you know, and I got to give them a lot of credit. I mean, it's, you know, they love their Bills. They love their Sabres, you know, so I certainly can't take anything away from them. Well,
you want to talk about play? The last time the Bills were in the playoffs was 1999.
Right. But they still sell out.
This is like a playoff game for them.
Right.
I was saying this all week. This is our playoff game. Every game from New England last week, this game's a playoff game. Last week's a playoff game. Must-win games.
Right.
This is Rex Ryan's Super Bowl. He came back, punched his old team in the face, the new coach, and took it.
Yeah.
He pulled the carpet out from underneath us with the playoffs.
Yeah, so now they finish 8-8, and it's a moral victory for them because, you know, it's just this is all they were talking about, was finishing it out on a positive note.
That's exactly what they did.
The one guy, he has his own radio show. The guy who calls the Buffalo Bill games, John Murphy.
Okay.
And that's all he was talking about this week, on the show, is how, you know, 8-8, finishing 8-8 was going to be a moral victory for Rex Ryan. It was going to validate, you know, him as a coach. And, you know, they're going to have so many positives to work off of, you know, going into next season.
I'll tell you what, they sell out.
Yeah.
That fan base, all the heartbreak they went through in the early 90s, they sell out.
They still sell out.
1999.
I don't want to say they're a total failure, Buffalo, because they won back-to-back AFL titles.
Yeah.
You know?
Of course.
Back in the day. But with all the heartache that those fans endured in the early 90s, four straight Super Bowls and lost them all with a great roster. I mean, when things go bad, which they have, you mentioned it, since the late 90s.
Right.
It's been bad for Buffalo. And those fans could definitely disappear for a while and be validated in doing that.
And plus it was freezing up there.
And they've threatened on moving that team.
Yeah.
The Sabres and the Bills.
Right.
They started playing some football games in Toronto.
Yeah.
And they could have bailed and said, well, the hell with you, and not filled that stadium. But today, when they scan, the place is filled.
Packed, yeah.
I know there's some Jet fans there, but those fans come out to see a team that's out of the playoffs, nothing to play for, and they're still painting their face and tailgating and talking about running the ball and hitting hard, and they just want to win a game because they take a lot of pride in the team they root for.
Right.
I give the fans a lot of credit for that.
But it's a big game. They're playing the Jets. You know, that's Rex Ryan's old team. It's a big game.
Now, go ahead.
No, exactly what you were going to say. I'm just saying that's going back to the same thing again. It was a big game for Rex. This was his Super Bowl.
I'm gonna say this much, and let's just go back because I don't know about. I mean, we're talking about coming down to the end of the season, and the last game, and making the playoffs, and you're in. And if you lose, not that they would have been out automatically, but Pittsburgh obviously won their game. But the reason I say it's not, and listen, I'm disgusted with the whole. With the whole operation
the that was
today
open.
In terms of not finishing the job.
Baltimore
they didn't validate
last
what
week.
They accomplished. But if we're going to talk about history now, that we're both diehard Jet fans, before we get to our first call, if I got to pick out and weigh where it's and rank what's a worst loss or whatever, I'm telling you right now, the worst loss I went through when I think about it might have been 1997 with Parcells. Because they're right there at the end of the season, and at one point they were 8-4, I think. And they lost a couple of games in there. And it came down to the last game of the year against Detroit.
I remember this, yes.
They were 8-4. I'm looking it up now. They lost in Buffalo. They lost to the Colts. Shouldn't have lost to the Colts. Were lousy.
No.
Okay. They beat Tampa 31-0 at home.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Second to last game of the year. They go to Detroit. And I remember just being more... What you're trying to say now, I remember I was working a 4-12 as a cop. We took our meal. We watched the Jets play the Lions. Now, I remember Sanders went over 2,000 yards that game. But the Jets, I know you're not going to remember this because I didn't even think about it until I looked it up. Jets were winning that game 10-0. 10-0. First quarter. Okay? Morrell scored a touchdown. 10-0. 10-3 at the half. 10-6 going into the fourth quarter. They didn't lose that game until Sanders scored a touchdown on a run. And then they still had a chance. And that was the game when Parcells called that halfback option pass down by the goal line.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah. Okay. I think I was listening to this game. I somehow
that was pretty devastating.
This.
They shouldn't have lost that game.
All I'm going to say is this.
Now, okay. Let me give you one more that the only reason I put 97 ahead of this game was because this was Parcells. And he was already a Hall of Fame coach when he got here. And maybe I put it number one in terms of being unacceptable and distasteful in my memory as a Jet fan, because Parcells didn't finish the job and didn't stick around for one more season after Testaverde snapped his Achilles in 99 and passed it on to Al Groh. But to be honest with you, if it wasn't Al Groh coaching, I would have said 2000 was the worst, because that year they were 9-4 after they beat the Colts early December. And I remember Curtis Martin ran for 200 yards. I think he was the first running back to do it in the regular season. I know McNeil had done it in a playoff game in 1982. Okay? And they lost the next week to the Raiders. Fine. Raiders were a decent team. They're 9-5. They came home. Last home game, they played the Lions in the rain. They lost the game 10-7. The only reason I remember this is because I think it was John Hall that actually missed an easy field goal in the game. They lose 10-7. Not done. But that game, if they would have won that game, because the Lions weren't anything special, they would have clinched the playoff spot. They went on the road the last game and played the Ravens. And they were beating the Ravens 14-0 in the first quarter. Testaverde threw 2 35-yard-plus touchdown passes in the first quarter. The Jets were winning 14-0. In that game, I watched a guy do something I've never seen before. The Jets didn't lose because of the Ravens' defense, and they didn't lose because of the Ravens' offense. You know what they lost? Because of the Ravens' special teams.
Special teams, right.
Jermaine Lewis had like 200 and something yards in returns.
Right, okay. Yeah.
Right? He had a 54-yard punt return for a touchdown and an 89-yard punt return for a touchdown. Yeah. And that was on top of a 98-yard interception by McAllister on your boy, the Meatball.
Yeah, Vinny.
At the end of the first half. Like, the first half was over. It was over. The Jets were winning 14-12 before that pick. But I remember the special teams. Let me see how much yardage this guy had in return yardage. Let's see. Jermaine Lewis, 173 yards in punt returns.
That's...
He had 200 yards if you add in his kick returns. And losing that game to the Ravens, and guess what? The Ravens went on and won the... Super Bowl.
That's right. That's they beat the Giants, right?
Yeah. And the Jets had them 14-0 early.
Quarterback, yeah. Defense was
they
great.
Kind of
again,
blew
I
the
remember
end of the first half.
I probably listened to that game too because it's coming back to me.
So that's probably number two for me. I probably would say 97, then 2000, and then I'll put this one third. You know?
I don't know. It's a tough man. It's a tough one. Because the way the chips fell last week, we beat the Patriots. Pittsburgh actually loses.
I don't disagree with you because of what I saw go on for five straight weeks. To win five games in a row, the angle you're coming at, I do agree with. Because that's how I started this show. Especially to win five games in a row, to accomplish and build up all that good camaraderie and teamwork and performance and gain all those wins, to do all that and then go up against a team that really hasn't been playing good football.
Turmoil in the locker room.
When the Jets started playing well at the end of November, that's when the Bills really started playing bad.
Right.
And then to come out and in one game throw everything away that you laid out in front of you.
All right.
It may, you know, I guess you got to rank those three somewhat. However you want. But that's how I see it. Easy enough? All right, let's go to a call. Let's take Rich from Manhattan. He was the first call tonight. Rich, how are you?
Yo.
Welcome to Jets Therapy, Rich. What's going on, buddy?
My name is Richard, and I am a Jets fan.
Well, yo, welcome to the wake. It feels like a wake in this studio right now.
You should be
now.
Proud of yourself for admitting that. I think we should clap for him. That's the good first step, Rich, admitting that you have a problem.
I need to stop watching Jet quarterbacks wearing number 14 throw interceptions at the end of games like Richard Todd to Bill Simpson.
Well, Rich, do you blame Fitzpatrick for that loss today?
No.
Oh,
no. And I'm not really upset at all because if I would have told you, would you take 10-6 at the beginning of the year? You would have signed up for that.
Well, I predicted 10 wins here on this radio show, but
I'm kind of aggravated that you were right about that because that means we missed the playoffs.
Yeah, it's sad.
You know, now most of the time to make the playoffs, you got to have an 11-5 record.
Well, the Texans don't.
You got to take it with a grain of salt. Rich was never an athlete, so he's not going to agonize with a loss like that.
Look at
this.
The NFC East.
Look at Washington Redskins.
Yeah.
I will agree with you. Rich, the interception by Todd to Simpson bothered you a lot more than this, right?
Oh, worse.
Okay.
Because it was home, and B, it was a big comeback.
Yeah, it was a playoff game. Yeah, it was a huge comeback.
It was a huge comeback.
Huge. I was in my glory. I thought they were going to do it. I was a little kid, man. I was like 11 years old. I know.
They lost today because the Jets' offense and defense in the red zone is top three.
In the league.
In the league.
You're right.
The Bills, in similar situations for both their offense and defense, are in the 20s.
Yep.
It was a total role reversal.
Yeah, it's unacceptable.
But you're watching that game, right, Rich? And you're watching that game, and you would think, like you said, it's a role reversal. The Bills are playing better in the red zone than the Jets were today.
Absolutely. But you got to remember that, okay, it looks bad because it's your last memory in the last game, but every game is equal value. You could blame any of the other losses.
The Texans, the Eagles, games we shouldn't have lost.
You know,
well, the only reason that I disagree with that point you're making, Rich, is because this particular week is the final week of the season. So every possibility is mapped out for you. And the possibility that existed today was you just have to win this one game and you're in the playoffs. Okay? And it's not like the Jets were coming in like on a lucky streak. Like they won three out of their last five, they won five games in a row. And Rich, I got to say this much. To beat the Giants in overtime, first time they beat them since 1993, and then to beat the Pats. And I know you hate the Pats.
Well, that was a gift.
To beat the Pats in December. In December. With a lot on the line. In overtime, no less. And then to create what you had today. Not all games are equal when it comes down to the final week. And it doesn't always come down to the final week for the Jets. In Jet fan history, I have to say at least there have been a lot of final weeks where the Jets won and got in, like, Rich, 1991 with Raul Legre, right? I mean, that was a big win. Or when they beat the Raiders in 2001 when John only hit the 53-yarder. And, you know, so it's not like they've always blown it when it came down to one win and you're in. But today,
it makes,
you know,
it,
this is where we're at. This is where we are.
It makes it hurt even more that Rex Ryan did it against us.
I like Rex. I have nothing against him.
I like him, too, but you're going back to
the
old
way I do
about
Rex.
It doesn't bother me. But, you know, you mentioned the Leon Johnson halfback option against Detroit.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
We'll talk about the last game of the only year of Al Groh in Baltimore.
I did talk about that. You didn't hear that?
No, I I heard all this.
Oh, all right.
And this is just another one for the collection.
Right. But there is a collection, and you know full well there's a collection of winning games and getting it. Even in that 81 season, right, when you brought up the Richard Todd pick to Simpson,
yeah.
Even in that season, didn't they have to beat the Packers that last game to get in? Because I remember the fans went crazy. I think they had to beat them, and they did. They buried them.
They had to beat them, but they might. All I remember is that I went on the field after the game with the crowd.
Because that's when they clinched the playoff spot with that win. They blew them out like 37-0, I think it was. Didn't they sack Lynn Dickey like 10 times or something like that?
It wasn't a close game.
Yeah, they crushed them. It was great.
Crushed them.
And bringing that up, let me say, this defensive line is the furthest from a sack exchange. I got to be honest with you. Because they didn't do a thing, in terms of getting pressure and making Taylor look uncomfortable. I mean, think about it this way, Cronish.
Yeah,
last week, a Hall of Fame quarterback, the Jets made him look very uncomfortable at times. And this week, I don't think Taylor looked uncomfortable at all. He really didn't.
He was bouncing around in the pocket. He was picking apart where he wanted to throw the ball, and he ran whenever he wanted to run. They did nothing to stop him.
Yeah.
Well, and that's his game. You know, he's another one of those runners.
But you shouldn't have been, though.
Yeah, well,
I'm not disagreeing with you. You're in the driver's seat.
Yeah, no, you're right. They should have been all over. If they know that you know, if that's his game, they should have played him the same way they did against Brady.
Crony, 11 for 22 on third and fourth down conversions. Crony, yeah. What was that, the Buffalo Bills? Was that the Giants Bills when the Giants had the ball for 40 minutes in the Super Bowl? What? That is unacceptable for a top defense to allow that.
Buffalo had the ball for 39 minutes.
Was that?
Buffalo had the ball 39 minutes.
That's what I'm saying. What was going on with it? You got a top five defense. Top five defenses do not let the other team possess the ball for that amount of time. They don't let them convert like that. Not in big spots. And they let them convert every big spot they were in today.
They didn't start well. They started slow.
Started slow and they finished it horribly. They finished.
You know, but once Mo broke his leg, I think that took a lot of heart out.
It may have, but the defense got ignited at first. They made some stops after he initially left the game.
You know, and as far as next year, you know, they're probably going to lose Snacks as a free agent.
Yeah, all right.
Next year, they'll have to decide on Richardson.
Right.
And, you know, even though Mo broke his leg, he's an all-pro. They got to pay him. They got to keep
him. Well, he's not an all-pro.
Oh, he's an all-pro.
Not yet. He made the Pro Bowl for the first time, but we'll see if he's an all-pro. I mean, J.J. Watt's probably going to be first-team all-pro. I don't know if they're going to give it to Wilkerson. We'll see. We'll see who they give it to.
Wilkerson had a good year. 12 sacks. He had a good year this year.
He did a good year.
12 sacks.
But before he got hurt today, he did nothing.
At the game, right?
And that's when it matters. Because let me just tell you two something, okay? If you don't make excuses for guys. If Joe Klecko or Gastineau played the way Wilkerson did today, and I feel bad picking on him because he broke his leg. I'm saying up to when he got hurt. But if those two guys, Klecko and Gastineau, that was the New York Sacks. If they played with any resemblance of him or Richardson or Williams, you would never say a good word about those two guys. There's a reason you'll never forget those two guys. Okay, so that's all. All right, Wilkerson had an excellent season for himself, a career-high 12 sacks, but he's only had like 36 sacks in 5 years. That is not all-pro, okay? That's not. If he makes all-pro for the first time, good. That's something to build on. But right now, he just made his first Pro Bowl, and I don't even care about that. I care about what the team did. And the team lost. That's
right.
More important.
Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
For next year.
Yep.
Now, we know Fitzpatrick, you know, he set team record for touchdowns, but it's an offensive era.
Right.
So the stats are skewed when compared to the past.
Okay.
Because all the teams have 4,000-yard quarterbacks and all that.
Right.
And obviously, we don't ever want to see Geno in the locker room again.
Okay.
I think they're going to let him go.
You know, we have Petty. He's there.
Right.
But you know how big of a fan I am of Christian Hackenberg.
Okay.
Would you object to taking him in the second or third round?
Would I be against taking him in the second or third round?
Because right now he's the fifth-rated quarterback coming into the draft, which means that's probably second, third-round territory. And I think he's really, really good, despite almost getting killed by the lunatic coach Franklin, who kept him in to get beaten up with no offensive line all year, especially the first game against Temple,
right,
where he had like 11 sacks.
I think if he's ranked in a certain spot and he's the best player on the board in a second, third, fourth round, and they take him, I probably won't complain. But off the top of my head, Crony, Rich, I believe they need linebackers and offensive linemen first and foremost in the draft.
That's why I said second or third round. First round, they can take what you want. But do you think Hackenberg will be good in the NFL?
I don't think I've seen enough of him in college to make that like a steadfast ruling on that. I couldn't tell you. You know, I've seen him look good at times, and I've seen him in some games where he didn't look that mobile. So, but he may be a good pocket passer at the NFL level. I just don't know that. I don't study the college game enough to give you an answer to that.
All right.
And you probably watch a lot more footage of him.
Absolutely.
But you liked him before the season even started, right?
I liked him before when he was a freshman, the first game.
I think because the Jets have Petty, I don't know if I'd be looking to draft a quarterback because I'm interested in seeing what he has going forward. So if you can retain Fitzpatrick to hang out and play with Gailey for one more season and then see what Petty has going forward, I'd be more in favor of that and getting the players they need a playmaker at linebacker, and they need young stud offensive linemen. All right? And he's gone. All right, so why don't we go to a break, okay? And we'll hold the next caller because we got 2 minutes before the break. So, folks, we're wrapping up the first hour here.
Yeah.
Jets therapy will continue. If you're a caller out there and you want to talk some hockey, you can. I believe there's a team that plays in Brooklyn somewhere that won a game today.
Big game.
If that needs to be addressed, that's fine.
Beat the best team in the NHL.
Most Brooklyn Islander fans are New York Jet fans, so I guess we got to give a little happiness. Find a little happiness somewhere. So the first hour went quick. Thanks for being with us for that one. Stay with us. We got another hour for you. And we'll start it off with some more I Hate Myself for Loving You from Joan Jett. Back after the break.
The views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.